When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The John Harbaugh dream to the Giants is dying. It's not dead, but it feels like today, after Mike McDaniel got fired from the Dolphins, that it is dying. We know the relationship that John Harbaugh has with ownership in Miami. We know about the report that came out earlier this week, as soon as Harbaugh got fired, from Adam Schefter, that a mystery team had reached out to John Harbaugh's agents about Harbaugh, and this was a team, obviously, that had not fired their coach. And then here we are a couple days later, and people speculated. I thought it might be Green Bay. There were those that thought it might be Tampa, Miami, Buffalo, Dallas. And here we are a couple days later, and Miami ends up firing Mike McDaniel. And I know a lot of, and look, I have John Harbaugh neck and neck with Mike McCarthy. McCarthy's a guy that I've been banging the drum for and campaigning for ever since Brian Daboll got fired. Mike McCarthy is a guy that fits everything that the Giants need for their head coach. Experience, a winner, a head coach that gets to the playoffs year in and year out, winning double-digit games, a CEO, a program builder. Same for Harbaugh. So to me, they're neck and neck. And as soon as Harbaugh was let go, not only did I see all this excitement from my fellow Giant fans, you can't let him leave the building. Sign him yesterday. John Harbaugh needs to be the guy. And I understand that mentality, and I understand that anxiety, and I understand that feeling. But that's looking at it only from one direction, which is, why wouldn't John Harbaugh want to be the coach? And certainly the Giants are set up as far as their young franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart, a guy that I believe is the next great quarterback in the NFL. They have a strong young nucleus with Malik Nabers, with Cam Scataboo, with Tyrone Tracy, with Abdul Carter, with Brian Burns, with an offensive line that has improved greatly, and the line played on offense as good as we've seen in years. So there's a lot to like about this team. But there's a lot to like about a lot of teams. And we forget about personal relationships, and we forget about sentimentality, and we forget that there might be other things that John Harbaugh is looking at when making this decision. And when Harbaugh told everybody, or at least it came out, that he was going to wait a week, that made me think, oh boy, we, as Giant fans, feel we put John Harbaugh higher up on our depth chart than maybe he has us on his. Because why would you wait? Why would you be patient? I would think it's because you want to see the landscape. And here we are a couple of days later. Mike McDaniel gets fired. Who knows what's going to happen this weekend? Is LaFleur out in Green Bay? Is McDermott out in Buffalo? That certainly adds, or would add, interesting and intriguing options for Harbaugh. John Harbaugh holds all the cards. He has all the chips. We are at the mercy of John Harbaugh. And if you are somebody, and like I said, I have McCarthy and Harbaugh neck and neck. So I'm not sweating it that much because I'd love to have Harbaugh. But I know Mike McCarthy is just as good and a guy that could come in here and accomplish the same type of things that John Harbaugh can. That leads me to Kevin Stefanski. A guy that has already interviewed with the Giants. A guy that the Giants took out to dinner, and based on everything that I've read, the meeting went well, and Kevin Stefanski is an impressive guy. And I'm sure he is. Just like Brian Daboll is an impressive guy if you sit down and have a drink with him, or you go out to dinner with him, or you interview with him and just hang. But that's exactly the thing that doesn't make you a great head coach just because you're impressive. What makes you a great head coach is winning. And Kevin Stefanski, to me, is Brian Daboll 2.0. Kevin Stefanski failed with the Browns. Kevin Stefanski won in his first season in terms of a coach of the year, which means absolutely nothing. That and $2 will get you a newspaper. As a fan, we as fans should not care about a coach of the year. Brian Daboll won a coach of the year. Kevin Stefanski won a coach of the year. Both in their first years with the team. One, obviously, with the Giants. Daboll, here's Stefanski with the Browns. And then they both won a playoff game in their first year. And like Daboll, Stefanski got worse and worse and worse. And he won 8 games combined in his last 2 years, and he was shipped out of Cleveland. Much like Brian Daboll was shown the door here with the Giants. And when you look around and you put your ear to the ground, there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in Brian Daboll as a head coach around the league. Yet, the Giants and a lot of Giant fans, my fellow Giant fans, seem to be more than excited and happy with the prospects of Kevin Stefanski being the head coach. He is Brian Daboll 2.0. He's not the next Bill Belichick, because people are like, oh, well, Bill Belichick failed in Cleveland. So did Kevin Stefanski. And look what happened with Bill Belichick. Kevin Stefanski has a way better shot of being Brian Daboll or being Adam Gase or being someone else that failed again in their second spot than he has of being the great Bill Belichick. The only thing those two guys have in common is they both coach the Browns. And if everyone thinks, oh, Kevin Stefanski's a brilliant mind, okay, great, offensively, then make him a coordinator. Make him the offensive coordinator. Do not make him the head coach. Because as a head coach, he failed. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Kevin Stefanski was fired because he didn't win enough. Because he only won one playoff game. Because things got worse and worse and worse. So I can't for the life of me understand why Giant fans, media types, everybody's pumping this guy up like he's the greatest hire ever, when in reality, he's a Brian Daboll 2.0. A great offensive mind that didn't win enough football games, so he was fired. From a losing organization with a losing culture, and that's the type of guy that you want to bring in to lead this football team? To break the losing culture of the Giants? You want to bring in a guy that was around a losing culture and added to the losing culture? I don't care about two coach of the years. I care about winning, and I care about playoff wins. And Stefanski does not have enough of those on his resume for me to want to hire him. Now, as far as Mike McDaniel, I like him a lot. If I were the Giants, whoever they hire at head coach, and hopefully it is Harbaugh, hopefully it is McCarthy, I would make Mike McDaniel my offensive coordinator. Because he is another guy like a Stefanski, to me, that is a great offensive mind, a guy that can be brought in here to develop Jackson Dart, because that's what I keep hearing about Stefanski. Oh, he's going to develop Jackson Dart. Well, I don't want that for my head coach. I need my head coach to worry about all phases of this team, including special teams, which has been a disaster for the Giants for years, the defense, the offense, dealing with the media, dealing with everything that comes with the responsibilities of being a head coach. It's not just about developing the quarterback. And Jackson Dart, for a rookie, already seemed pretty developed to me. Now, there's always room to grow, but it would not stun me if Jackson Dart is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL this time next year. So I'm more worried about the guy being the CEO of my franchise and the head of my franchise and getting me to the playoffs and winning games than I am developing Jackson Dart. That's the important thing, is winning games. And Mike McCarthy and John Harbaugh are the guys that can do it. And I think that as I sit here right now, especially in light of what happened with Miami, that the dream of John Harbaugh coming to the Giants feels like it's dying. Not dead, but dying. And I think it's important to, if you want to dream big, great, but come to the grips with the fact that it might not be going down. And that's okay. Because Mike McCarthy is not a consolation prize. He is equal to a John Harbaugh. Both Super Bowl winners, both over 600 winning percentage, both have made the playoffs double-digit times in their career. Both routinely win double-digit games, and both would be excellent picks to be the head coach of this team. So for me, Harbaugh, but I feel like the dream is dying. McCarthy, which has been my guy for weeks on end. I don't want Kevin Stefanski. And my dream coaching staff for the Giants would be McCarthy and Harbaugh, or I should say. My dream coaching staff would be Mike McCarthy or John Harbaugh as the head coach. Mike McDaniel as the offensive coordinator, and a guy that's going to interview for the head coaching job here in the next couple days, a guy we're all familiar with as Giant fans, Antonio Pierce, because I think AP is the kind of man and the kind of alpha dog that I want as a defensive coordinator and a guy that can be a rah-rah culture-building voice in this locker room. So my dream, and it has been my dream coaching staff, McCarthy, McDaniel, Pierce. McCarthy as the head coach, McDaniel as the OC, and Antonio Pierce as the defensive coordinator. All right, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie, we'll get to your calls. We'll get the show rolling. I got you till 2 a.m. on the Giants coaching search. We'll mix in a little situation that's going on in the college football semifinal that's got the internet talking, Jackson Dart, and perhaps something that he said to an Ole Miss assistant about the Giants head coaching search. We will mix in some baseball as well. Rob Manfred joined Craig and Big Mac today, and he talked about things like realignment, so we'll touch on that. Cody Bellinger and the Yankees. There is a report out there from Brendan Cuddy about the offer that was made by the Yankees in terms of money. So we will get into that as well. A lot to discuss. We got hours to do that, after hours to do that. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. Coming up later this hour, did Jackson Dart give away who the Giants are going to hire as their next head coach? Let's go out to John in Rockland County. What's going on, John?
Hey, John. Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm Tom. You're John. You're John, I'm Tom. No, it's all good. You get a little nervous. You're talking to a generational talent. And to be honest with you, John, sometimes during after hours, I forget which day it is. I forget my own name. I forget who I'm working with. So it's all good. I mean, this is really, it's not the SATs. We can make mistakes. I make them all the time. All you got to say is, my bad. And then we move on.
My bad.
All good.
I'll tell you, well, one thing I didn't forget is what you said earlier about the prospect of John Harbaugh becoming a pipe dream for the New York Giants.
Yes.
Me personally, as Brian Daboll has been head coach, I've been losing more and more hope with this team every season, right? Mm. I want to ask you, if Kevin Stefanski, I hope he doesn't, but if he does become the head coach of the New York Giants, what do you think he can do, or what do you think the Giants have to do to make it work out so that it isn't a complete disaster?
John, I don't like the hire if it's Stefanski. He would have to surround himself with an excellent staff, because I think the focus needs to be on everything other than Jackson Dart. For the head coach, let me be clear on that. Jackson Dart is already, in my opinion, very well on his way to being developed into a top five quarterback in the sport. There's always room for more, but I need the head coach of this team to be the CEO. I know I say it a lot, but I think it's important, and I want to hammer this point. CEO, adult in the room, program builder, winner, focusing on everything. Offense, defense, special teams, the media, all that comes with being the head coach. And that was a lot of stuff that Brian Daboll stunk at. Daboll, great with the quarterback, great with Allen, great with Dart. A lot of people think Stefanski's going to be great with Dart, but that's not why I'm hiring a head coach. I can hire a staff to work with Dart. I need the head coach to be the CEO. and the guy that just handles everything. So how do you make it work? I mean, that's why I don't want to hire him, because I don't think it will work. I don't think Kevin Stefanski will be successful here, because he's already failed as a head coach. We've already seen him 6 years in Cleveland, two winning seasons. And I don't want to hear people bring up the coach of the year. Brian Daboll won a coach of the year. Brian Daboll won a coach of the year and a playoff game in his first year with the Giants. Kevin Stefanski won coach of the year and a playoff game in his first year with the Browns. Both guys petered off at the end, yet Kevin Stefanski is at the top of the Giants list, and Brian Daboll's not at the top of anybody's list. So why, I ask, why would the Giants want to make a repeat mistake? Because I don't see major differences between Kevin Stefanski and Brian Daboll in terms of success. And Brian Daboll is not getting any type of looks for head coach, for OC he is. Stefanski not. Stefanski should be the OC. He should be an offensive coordinator. And then work your way back up. You just got fired. You failed. It's not like Harbaugh, who had a lot of success, and they decided to part ways after a long marriage. Or Mike McCarthy, where in Dallas, he was making the playoffs, but it wasn't the Super Bowl and winning it, which is the ultimate goal when you're a Cowboy fan and you're Jerry Jones and you haven't won since the 90s. This is different. This is a guy that won one playoff game, never got to a Super Bowl, never got to the AFC Championship game, was bad in his last couple years, and he got fired because of it. And the Giants can't wait to hire the guy? Makes absolutely no sense from my perspective. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce? Hey, Bruce, what's happening?
Hey, Tommy, congratulations. I was waiting a long time for you to get your own show.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the congratulations from everybody out there. I'm excited for this. I'm honored by it. It's a lifelong dream, and I'm looking forward to sharing this with all of you guys, because the beautiful thing about radio is that it feels like we know each other even though we don't. It's a very personal relationship. It's a very one-on-one thing. You hear me in the car, in your car, or on your Odyssey app in your phone, and it's like we're sitting in the room together having a sports conversation. So it's my honor, it's my pleasure to talk to all you guys.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot. Well, Tommy, I think McCarthy should be the head coach of the Giants. I'm tired of pussyfooting around with guys who have won awards that don't mean anything. McCarthy's won multiple 12 winning seasons with the Cowboys,
yep,
and the Super Bowl championship.
Three in a row. Yep, and beating Tomlin in the Super Bowl too.
Yes, I'd like to see him be the CEO. I'd like to see McDaniel as the OC. And believe it or not, I'd love to see Rex Ryan come out and run the defense.
You know what the problem is with Rex, Bruce? And it's nothing against Rex. Rex has made it so abundantly clear that he wants to be a head coach. And if you bring him in as a coordinator, it's one of those things, even if you're a Mike McCarthy, you're just looking over your shoulder with Rex Ryan. So it's nothing against Rex, but he's just the guy that I probably wouldn't bring in as DC. I've laid out my ideal room, and I did this a couple of weeks ago, and at the time, Mike McDaniel wasn't fired, but my ideal coaching staff, and now my dream can become a reality, was Mike McCarthy, the head coach, Mike McDaniel, OC, Antonio Pierce, defensive coordinator. I think that would be outstanding if the Giants can make that happen. Let's go to Dino in Cranford. What's up, Dino?
Loogie, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good, good. So I wanted to get your opinion on this. If the Steelers bomb out like we all expect this weekend and Tomlin becomes available on Monday, how would you roll with either possibly, if the dream scenario happens, you have the choice between Tomlin or Harbaugh for head coach? And then I got something else, too.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin, same thing with Harbaugh, same thing with McCarthy. They go to the top of my list because of their accomplishments, because of what they can bring to a football team and build it up and bring it to a winning team. Dean, I'm just going to put you on hold there for a second as I'm talking, because you have some loud stuff going on. And as soon as I'm done, I'll go back to you and you can ask me your other questions. What I will say is this. I really like the Houston Texans, and I think they can go to the Super Bowl. I'm nervous about this game on Monday, though, for them, because the Steelers have not lost a Monday night game in, I don't know, 23 years, something like that. Mike Tomlin, as an underdog, there's always pixie dust. There's always a little bit something extra there. So I'm not, and look, the Texans have the best defense in the NFL, but I'm not, putting Houston into the next round just yet. That said, Dino, if Mike Tomlin becomes available and he wants to coach, meaning he doesn't want to take a year off or he doesn't want to go to TV, of course, Mike Tomlin would be right there at the top of the list for me, along with McCarthy and Harbaugh.
I kind of agree with you in there. I'm kind of in lockstep with those two at that point. What I wanted to say is I know we talk about our dream scenarios, and you have your dream scenarios too. This is such a relationship business. If we are lucky enough to get Harbaugh, really we're at the mercy of who his relationships are with as far as OC and DC.
Yes.
You know, we can want Pierce, we can want, you know, McDaniel, we can want whoever we want. But, you know, if we want to have the best coach available in this cycle, which is Harbaugh, in my opinion, we have to go with what he wants as OC.
No, absolutely. It's more just for fodder, Dino. It's more just for, like, talk on the radio. Obviously, it's like, yeah, you're right. Harbaugh, if he wants whomever, those are going to be the guys. But the good thing, though, Dino, and I appreciate the call, and the thing you like about Harbaugh and Tomlin and McCarthy is that they have so much experience that I trust that they have made those relationships to build the correct staff. That's always the fear with hiring a coordinator is, have they made enough relationships to build their staff? That's why the jump from coordinator to head coach, one of the reasons why it's so difficult to succeed. When you're the coordinator, all right, my focus is just the defense. My focus is just the offense. And there's been so many, Josh McDaniels comes to mind immediately. He is a great coordinator, one of the greatest offensive coordinators ever, and certainly, if not the best, one of the best offensive coordinators of our generation or my generation or whoever's generation is listening. Norv Turner comes to mind, tremendous coordinator, stunk as a coach, head coach. Spags, Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, was not good as a head coach. And because you have to build your own staff, you have to deal with all different facets of the game, clock management. There's just so many different things that you have to deal with, the media, the players, their whatever they got going on off the field. There's a lot that goes into it. And it's very difficult. And I look at guys like Stefanski and guys that have had their opportunity and a large sample size with one team and they didn't get it done. I don't understand the infatuation with being like, oh, we have to hire this guy. He's right at the top of our list. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Michael in West Hempstead. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
I've got a phrase to upgrade tanking.
What do you got? Well, first of all, Michael, for those unaware in the audience, we are on this quest together, all of us, to find a softer phrase for tanking because, let's be real, tanking is best for getting that quarterback. But it's a harsh word, and it's a word that people don't like hearing because it's got negative connotations. So if we could find a way to soften it up a little bit.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I think it will be allow people for it to go down a lot smoother when they drink it. So what do you got for us?
All right. And you're a positive guy. So I think you're going to like it.
Yes.
All right. Winning later. They tank. We win later.
Not awful. It has the word winning in it. And it has the word. It has nothing negative. It has nothing that's like awful that makes you go it's a 7.7. I give it a 7.7. I'm looking for that 10 out of 10. I'm looking for that 12 out of 12, or I'm looking for that 12 out of 10, or that 30 out of 10, whatever it is. But we're going over a 10 here, and that one was more in the C+ range, which, look, for me in high school, that was great. I mean, I would put that on the refrigerator. But for here, for after hours, for the phrase, for the thing that we're all going to come up with and use forever, and other shows are going to copy me and say it themselves, and it's going to become part of the WFAN lexicon, we got to get that perfect one. And when I hear it, when we all hear it, we'll know it. Now, you can call in 888-808-1019. You could hit me up on Twitter about it, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. It's our quest, it's our mission, but we will get there. Let's go to Robbie and Lennox on the Fan. Now, Robbie, before we get into the joke, that team that you root for that skates around on ice, let's hear your Giants stuff first, and then we can talk about the we'll talk a little puck.
Okay, I really think that that's my other team, the Chargers. Yeah, so the Harbaugh brothers would be both my teams. I still think John Harbaugh is going to be the head coach of the New York Giants. My only problem, Tom, was basically this was my problem. It's the fact that for the Giants, this has been the fourth time now in this particular time of their absolute garbage decade where they've decided to fire a coach and keep a general manager. It didn't work with Dave Gettleman. It didn't work with Jerry Reese. It worked early with Jerry Reese, and then the draft was a disaster. Remember, this is the guy that took Eli Apple, okay, with the first pick. That year with their draft, their first pick. So that's my problem with the Giants. It's a conflict of interest to me. If Shane is there and Harbaugh doesn't want him. So in my opinion, if Harbaugh's there and he wants Shane out, that for me is Harbaugh's choice. I want a guy who's won a championship. I know you like Mike McCarthy. I think I'm not a big McCarthy guy in terms of the way I've seen him coach, but that's also the same thing with Harbaugh. He's coached poorly in games. All coaches have games where they just don't do a good job.
No, of course. I mean, listen, right? Andy Reid, his team in the Super Bowl last year got absolutely demolished, and Andy Reid is an all-time great head coach. So you're right. They all have their bad moments. You just hope that there's more great moments than there are bad moments, and certainly for Andy Reid, there has been.
Yeah, and I certainly think that coming to the New York Football Giants was a classic franchise. I know, I understand that John Harbaugh has ties to Cleveland, but let's be honest.
Cleveland and Miami.
Exactly. Yeah, but I still think Jackson Dart and the young running backs and the young receivers and this offense of the Giants is attractive. And I definitely think that John Harbaugh will be here. About the Rangers, okay? Look, they had 32 shots tonight. The problem I have with Mike Sullivan, look, it's not Sullivan's fault. This is not a talented team, Tom. Can you get your stinking team to play for 60 minutes for an entire stinking game? Do I have to watch you have two shots on goal, please, in the first 15 minutes? Can you attack the zone, please? I understand we don't have Fox, we don't have Lava, we're missing players right now. But this, in my opinion, is the most boring and consistent team I've seen in 53 years of watching this franchise. And it's disgusting. Tommy, this is January 8th. It's my grandmother's birthday. This team has 5 wins in MSG.
Embarrassing.
5.
No other way to say it. Embarrassing. It's an absolute disgrace, Robbie, and I appreciate the call. This is what the Rangers are doing at home right now, or lack of what they're doing at home, is one of the ugliest, most pathetic, embarrassing home court field ice, all the slashes in the middle of that performance display that I've ever seen in the history of New York sports. It's absolutely a joke. They can't win at home. They can't score at home. It's hideous. And they have a lot of problems, but this lack of performance and effort at MSG is just crap. No other way to put it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And every time I'm on the train here coming to work for after hours, I see the Ranger fans on the train. They're going through the turnstile. And they have to see this team not score, not win games at home. And it's disgusting. It's really, really, really bad. All right, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up in the next half hour, did Jackson Dart reveal who the Giants' next head coach is going to be? Plus, we'll get into some baseball in the next hour. Rob Manfred, what he had to say with Craig and C-Mac on the Carton Show today. Plus, your calls, obviously, on the Giants, John Harbaugh, Mike McCarthy, Mike McDaniel. All that's going on with the coaching carousels. A lot of football. We'll look at the semifinal game that got played tonight between Ole Miss and Miami. So a lot on the docket here. 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie After Hours. The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results. ChefIQ.com. It just went final. The Miami Hurricanes have defeated the Ole Miss Rebels to advance to the national championship. And it was a great game. It was a classic back and forth, both quarterbacks at the end of the game, Carson Beck from Miami, Trinidad Chambliss, who's been the darling of college football over the last couple of weeks, that great performance he had against Georgia. And then tonight, Chambliss led Ole Miss down the field. They score a touchdown. They're up one. Ole Miss gets the two. Miami gets the ball back with a couple minutes left. Carson Beck, the transfer over from Georgia, drives Miami down the field to hit the game-winning touchdown. He ran it himself. And then Ole Miss had about 18 seconds left. They completed two passes and then had one final play left, a heave to the end zone. It was incomplete. And the Miami Hurricanes, for the first time since that game that, and I remember this like it was yesterday, for a few reasons. I grew up, you know, being in the Miami. I loved, like, all those teams back in the day that were awesome. I mean, the backups on the Hurricanes were great, and all the guys, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Edgerrin James and Jeremy Shockey and Kellen Winslow Jr. and Ken Dorsey, on and on and on and on. A team that won a national championship. And then the next year, and this is the last time they were in the national championship, they lost to Ohio State. That was the Maurice Clarett. See, I know sports. I remember sports. Maurice Clarett and that Ohio State team with Jim Tressel. And that was that horrible PI pass interference goal, which wasn't pass interference, which screwed the Hurricanes over. And I remember being annoyed by that because I hate Ohio State too. And it's been a while, and it's been some dark times for Miami. And the good thing about the college football playoff is that it allows, because everyone was up in arms, should Miami even get in? Did the committee get it wrong? Well, here we are, Miami. They beat A&M in Texas A&M, Kyle Field. They beat the defending champs, the Buckeyes, and now they knock off everyone's darling Ole Miss. And they're moving on to the championship to face either Oregon, led by Dante Moore, or to face Indiana, Cignetti, Mendoza. I think it's personally going to be Indiana. I know I'm not going terribly out on a limb there, although a lot of people that I know that I feel like have a good feel for this type of stuff, like Oregon, but Indiana kind of dominated Oregon earlier in the year. Now, granted, they only won by 10 points. This was in Eugene. This was in Oregon, Oregon's building, but the way the game was played and the way Indiana dominated that game, and they just kind of feel like that team of destiny. I could be wrong. We could be sitting here with Oregon-Miami final, but I think the Hoosiers get it done. That game is obviously tomorrow night. I won't be on, but I'll be on Sunday into Monday, midnight into 5 a.m., so Sunday night into Monday morning, so we'll have a lot to talk about. The college football, we have the NFL playoffs. I'll give my thoughts on those games coming up. We'll call it in the 1 o'clock hour. And if you have to go to bed, I understand that. You could always go back on the Odyssey app and check that out. But we'll give a feel for each game and a breakdown and a pick for each game coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But congrats to Miami, Carson Beck. It's been a long time for the Hurricane fans. It's been a long time for that university. They've been waiting. Beck, I wouldn't say he's like the greatest of quarterbacks, but he got the job done here. And you wonder where his draft status will go now, because he was probably somewhere in the second, third round. If he wins a national championship with Miami, does somebody end up taking him in the first round? Do the Jets take him to overall? I don't see that happening. But certainly Trinidad Chambliss has helped his draft stock, because he did everything he could do to will this Ole Miss team to the college football championship. And he is very, very impressive. He makes plays, a little small size-wise, but he absolutely can run, he can throw, and he feels like he has that clutch gene, and those are the things you look for in a young quarterback and a guy that you would want to build your franchise around. So one team has already punched their ticket to the national championship, that is the Miami Hurricanes, and we await the winner tomorrow, Heisman Trophy, Fernando Mendoza versus Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call, but it's all about the Giants head coaching search. What are they going to do? I feel like the John Harbaugh dream to the Giants, or the dream of John Harbaugh to the Giants, is dying. It's not dead. It's not dead, but it's dying, especially in the wake of what's going on or what happened with the Dolphins today, firing Mike McDaniel. We know the relationship between John Harbaugh and Dolphins ownership. And there was that report earlier in the week with Adam Schefter that there's a mystery team that reached out to John Harbaugh's camp and his agent. And we all speculated, is it the Packers? Is it the Bills? Is it the Bucks? Is it the Cowboys? Is it the Eagles? A million teams were thrown out there, Dolphins being one of them. And here we are a couple days later, and Miami has relieved Mike McDaniel of his duties. I think he'll land as an OC. I would take him with the Giants. The Jets should give him a good look as well, especially with the Gucci watch and the capris and the women's sunglasses. I mean, you know where you got those shades from, bro. And it was damn sure wasn't the men's department. And that's fine. I have no issue with that. If I see a nice pair of shades or a nice pair of jeans and they happen to be in the women's section, I don't care.
What do I care?
If I could fit, and I can. And I know you boys put on a few LBs. The internet reminds me that every day. But it all goes to my face. So if you see my legs, you wouldn't think that I've gained weight, but it kind of goes to the face. What am I going to do? Maybe a little bit to the tummy, but this is winter, Tommy. And I think we're just getting to know each other. A lot of times when I'm filling in on shows, you see me in the summer, so you see summer Tommy in these videos. Now you're seeing winter Tommy. I always look like this in the winter. You just, I was in the hostage video cam behind the glass when Evan would actually throw to me, so you wouldn't be able to tell that I put on a couple LBs.
No biggie.
Little Oreos and ice cream every night. My wife is just feeding, eat Santa, eat every night. She made, mind you, we live together, just the two of us. And she made this like exploding lava brownie cake. Delicious. Goes great with vanilla ice cream.
He's fat!
She made an entire thing of this. I had one piece because I got to start cutting some weight. And she goes to me the other night. She goes, are you going to have any more? I go, no. She goes, well, I'm kind of having a little bit of a, she every start to the year, she does a little cleanse, a little fast. Good for her. I could never do that. I just try to drop weight by, slimming down a little bit on what I actually eat. She'll just fast. She goes, well, I'm not eating. I'm fasting. I go, well, you made the entire cake for me? I'm supposed to eat this entire cake?
I saw a belly.
Jimmy4430 underscore Twitter's making fun of me. And you want me to eat this entire brownie cake? Every Twitter account that has a Simpson avatar as their Twitter profile pic does not like me.
Fat, fat, fat.
I can't get over it. I grew up on The Simpsons. So I don't know. I think we should see eye to eye. Like the Twitter accounts that don't have the actual person in their profile pic, they're clearly not, you know what I mean? They all don't like me. Now, is it one person? Is it multiple? We'll never know. In all likelihood, this person or people have 90-year-old mothers that they watch Murder, She Wrote with. You know what I mean? That's probably the case. But they're all, they all say I'm fat, and I get home, and then she's stuffing brownies down my throat.
Fat!
It's hard for me to resist that. Anywho, where was I at? Miami Mike. So, yeah, if I see a pair of women's jeans, I'm throwing those bad boys on because the weight never goes to my legs. And my ass looks like a balloon that you take the air out of it. You ever see a balloon when the air's coming out of it? Like you're at a party and a kid's party or whatever, and the balloons, after a while, they kind of like deflate and they're on the ground. That's what my butt looks like. So the weight doesn't go there. It just goes to
your booty.
It goes to my face. It goes to my face. So everybody thinks I'm getting a big head, which maybe I am because, I'm a generational talent. I'm finally on the air. But it's really more just winter Tommy. This is what you always get. And then in summer Tommy, maybe even spring Tommy. And if you continue being mean, perhaps it'll be February Tommy. We'll drop the weight. Because it's really just all goes to the face. But again, ladies' glasses, ladies' jeans, yeah.
No biggie.
If they look good, I'm wearing them. So I get me Mike McDaniel. Long way to go to get to the punchline. But if Mike McDaniel, if we want him on the sidelines with the capris, with the, he always has the sleeves rolled up with the sweatshirt. Guy looks miserable in the cold, so he's already a big fan of mine. Positive Tommy, allergic to wintertime. I can't stand the winter. It stinks. At least the days now and the next couple days are going to be a little mild. We're in like 50 degrees. When it's 30 degrees outside, it sucks. It's horrible. If you're a young single dude, it's the worst. Girls don't come out in this weather. They're hibernating. Absolutely, recorded Tommy. It's a long way to go for Memorial Day weekend with DJs. It's freezing. Where was I? Oh, the calls. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Zach in Holbrook. What's up, Zach?
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course. Yeah, no problem.
I really kind of just wanted to explore the possibility of the Giants messing this up like they always do. I feel like the whole conversation is about Harbaugh, Tomlin, if that's even possible, McCarthy, Stefanski even, but I feel like how we prepare ourselves to for the worst here. What if they go with like Kubiak or Kingsbury or I believe his name is Marcus Freeman or
from Notre Dame
or whatever.
Yeah, Staten Island Lou.
I feel like we gotta prepare for the worst here. We're so excited about all these other opportunities, but you even said it yourself. It's up to the coach to make that decision. We can't force him to be the Giants head coach.
Well, Jack, it's not so much a prepare for the worst. But what I've been trying to hammer home here to my fellow Giant fans, because I saw this reaction when the news came out about Harbaugh, and it's the hire him yesterday, get him in the building, don't make him leave, lock all the doors, show him a tape of Jackson right. Dart, hire him immediately. And it's like, we're looking at this just from our perspective and not understanding that Harbaugh has a lot of options. He is one of the most coveted free agent coaches in the history of the NFL. He's getting looks from everybody, and there are a lot of good jobs out there. Like I think Joe Shane has built a good roster. There are people that don't. So let's say you're in the camp that believes this roster stinks, okay? You think this roster stinks, but you like the quarterback. And you say, well, Harbaugh, why wouldn't he be interested in the Giants? It's a no-brainer. Well, then I would just say, well, what about the Titans? Their roster stinks, and they have Cam Ward. Based on that logic, he would love to go to Tennessee. So you have to kind of not necessarily prepare for the worst, but you have to understand that we just think he's going to come here because we're the Giants, we're New York, we have Jackson Dart, and it's a no-brainer. The Raiders have the number one overall pick. He could love Mendoza. His ties to Miami. He has ties to Cleveland, he being John Harbaugh. So just understand that he has the pick of the litter. He is the bachelorette. We're all the contestants. You know what I mean? Like, he hands out the rose. Right. I appreciate the Zach. Sometimes I recycle jokes. You know what I mean? I try to freshen up the material. Zach called me out there. He said I said it yesterday. I'm on the air 5 hours a night. Sometimes I'll repeat a joke because everybody listens for 15 minutes. Most people listen 15 minutes at a time. And you're right, I did make that joke yesterday. But really, if you go see Kiss, right, you buy a ticket to see Kiss. And they don't come out in makeup. And they don't sing Detroit Rock City. I believe that's a Kiss song. And they don't sing I Want to Party All Night Long. You're going to be disappointed. If you go see, whoever comedian, and you don't hear all their best jokes, you're going to be disappointed. So I feel like if I said something funny last night, I'm going to say it funny again, because someone new in the car may say, that Tommy Lugauer, he sucked on Evan and Tiki, but he's pretty funny by himself. They call me Tommy the Rationalizer. But I did say that last night. But it's true, and it holds true, that, you know, John Harbaugh is the bachelorette, and we are all the guys that are there looking.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, to get the rose. And he has the pick of the litter. So it's not about saying preparing for the worst, because Mike McCarthy is still out there. And Mike McCarthy, to me, is not a consolation prize. He is on the level of John Harbaugh. Now, I've teased this. Tonight was Ole Miss and Miami in the college football semifinals. And as we know, Jackson Dart is an alumni of the Ole Miss Rebels. So he was at the game. During the broadcast, the cameras showed Jackson Dart wearing the non-prescription shades, which I like. They're a good look. A little necklace going on there as well. The hoodie, the Ole Miss jersey. And he's talking to what seems like an assistant or somebody on the staff of Ole Miss. And the internet is having a ball with this at a field day, because apparently, based on some lip reading or some lip readers out there, the Ole Miss assistant says, who's going to be the next coach? To which Jackson Dart, and this is what people are interpreting based on reading his lips, I don't know, Harbaugh or Stefanski, but I don't know. He didn't mention Mike McCarthy. Now, why? I don't know. Because Mike McCarthy is interviewing next week, and Mike McCarthy's the guy I've been campaigning for. And this is based off, we might have some bad lip readers out there. It's all over social media. An account called Giants Daily, NYJ Daily, put it out there. So if you want to check out his Twitter account. And maybe you can check out the video. And if you are a lip reader, you can report back to me. But based on the internet, it seems like who's going to be the next coach? I don't know, Harbaugh or Stefanski, but I don't know. Some people think he said, or something like that, meaning Harbaugh or Stefanski or something like that. So I don't know how much Jackson Dart is going to be a part of this. I don't know how much say he's going to have in this. He's still a young QB. He's only going into his second year. So you wonder what Joe Shane, what upper management, what everybody is telling him. Obviously, he has the internet. He has, you know, he's alive, so he can see on TV and listen to the radio and know what the deal is. To me, there, he didn't sound like, oh, yeah, it's definitely, like, if he had said, it's Harbaugh, it's a done deal, or it's Stefanski, or it's Mike McCarthy. The fact that he gave the two names that we're hearing most, even though they shouldn't be the two names, and then I don't know, or something like that, based on your level of lip reading, didn't give it away fully or really at all, which makes you think that the Giants are obviously, and they are, really at square one of this. And I don't buy into the fact that they could have gotten more ahead of this. I mean, if you wanted Harbaugh, he already had a job. Stefanski already had a job. So what exactly could they have done over the last couple weeks? Hired McCarthy? Interviewed him? Yeah, they could have got rolling on him because he didn't have a job. But the coordinators, everybody else you hear, Marcus Freeman, who's at Notre Dame, although the steam on Freeman now is you don't hear his name as much anymore. And I don't like somebody yesterday brought up Cignetti, and I'm sure that Cignetti will be a name out of Indiana head coach, Kurt Cignetti, will be a name that you will hear a lot if Indiana wins the championship. I said it, and I'll continue to say it. To be a head coach in college, at a program that wins a national championship or has success the way Indiana's had this year, and you are getting paid the kind of money that he is, you're not leaving for the NFL. You're not. Now, and this probably hurts a lot of people's feelings if they go to Indiana, but it's the truth. If a blue blood college program comes calling for him, he's leaving. Indiana is not a blue blood football school. It's not. I don't care if they win the national championship. I don't care that they have the Heisman. I don't care if they have the guy that's going number one overall. I do not care. I don't care if they have this undefeated season. None of that matters. You're not a blue blood. You're not Ohio State. You're not Notre Dame. You're not Michigan. You're not LSU. I mean, that's just the reality. Doesn't mean you can't be a really great program for the next 10 years, but to enter blue blood status is extremely difficult. Is Gonzaga blue blood in basketball? They're not. But have they had a ton of success for decades, it feels like? Yes, but they're not a blue blood. Duke is, North Carolina is. It takes more than just 10 years, 20. It's really difficult to break into the conversation of being a blue blood program. That's why Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss. Yes, Ole Miss was in the semis. Yes, Ole Miss could have made the championship game. Ole Miss could have won the title. They're not a blue blood. LSU is. So when the bigger school comes calling, Cignetti will be gone. Just like Lane Kiffin is gone, just like any coach in these situations, because there are just certain jobs you do not pass on. But I don't think it'll be for the NFL. Do you see the money these college coaches get paid to? Do you see the money? Better question. Do you see the money they get paid when they get fired? It's ridiculous. And they can run these campuses. They're the kings of the campus. The amount of money that college football generates, it's off the charts. So I don't see it, but he'll be a name that gets thrown in there we'll get the calls on. And I'm not saying don't do it, and there's something wrong with you if you do, but Cignetti will start to get thrown in with the Belichick, Gruden. It's not happening. It's not happening.